Blind Cool Tech 69, August 3, 05. Hey y'all, how are you? I'm Larry Skutkan, your host for this edition of Blind Cool Tech. Hope you will join Jake and I for our morning commute to work. It's a humid morning here in Louisville, Kentucky. Let's go straight, little buddy. We're going to take the shortcut. Attaboy. We're crossing Grinstead, taking a little bit shorter route. Good doggy. It's interesting when you come to an up curb. Jake, and I'm sure your guide dogs, kind of point their nose down to the curb to let you know where you need to step up. If it's any, you know, if it's unusual at all, normally they will just put their front feet up there. But if you're approaching at an angle or anything's unusual about it, good boy, little buddy. They'll point their nose down at it. It's kind of funny. This morning, oh, okay. You got it, little buddy. Tight squeeze, huh? Okay, good doggy. This morning we are going to talk a little bit about the reason, or actually I should say, what we selected as the ultimate in recording. And I'll call this high quality recording. I realize it's not professional quality, but it's decent. It's pleasant enough to listen to. Okay, come on. Good boy. Oh, and you'll have to excuse me. I'll probably get a little winded on this hill. And tell you a little bit, you know, about why we selected this recorder. I will tell you now that our choice for the ease of use and flexibility is the iRiver IFP 899. But before we get to that, let's go through our emails. And we've got some voicemails to play at the end of the show. I'll play those when I get to the office. Okay, we have had several emails talking about, you know, people having trouble streaming the audio from the website for these shows. And I promise you, I am doing everything on earth I can possibly do without getting into the details. And I will tell you the details when they become reality. And in fact, they are reality. It's just a matter of time now getting them implemented. So we're doing everything possible, but you can do something to help too. And before I even go into that, let me just say that if you're trying to listen with, a dial-up connection, that's not going to be a satisfying experience at all. So, you want to pay special attention to the things coming up next. And that is what you need to do, what you can do to help us out and help yourself out, is to use iPotter. Now, you know, maybe once you get iPotter, you can go back and listen to the podcast we did about what it's all about. I'll go over some of that material here. And I'll even do a show in the next, very soon, demonstrating how to use iPotter and how to set it up. But if you click on, you know, those links on the website are really, you know, they're not meant for everyday use. They're meant for people to maybe check it out one time. And you know, when there's a few hundred of you at the same time trying to download a file, our server just cannot handle it. The bandwidth can't handle it, the machine can't handle it. And you can't handle it, because it becomes frustrating. So, here's what you need to do. You need to download iPotter. And the easiest way to download it, or one of the easiest ways, instead of going to Podcast Alley or SourceForge, go to Jeff Bishop's website at jeffbishop.com. And he's got a link right there at the top of his page. Download the accessible version of iPod. And by the way, you know, all the new versions are accessible. But the reason I recommend his is because it's a much more direct way to find it. So, download that. Install it. And run it. And then when you want to, if you want to add the link, or I mean the feed for Blind Cool Tech, just press Control-N for new feed. Type in http://www.aph.org/tech/bct.xml. That's X-Ray Mike Lima, XML. Then tab over to the OK button, and you'll just, you know, leave iPotter running and you'll get it automatically. You know, it'll download it overnight, or, you know, you don't have to sit there and wait on it. That's the whole idea of podcasting, is the material gets delivered to you. Now, what I'm going to do too, hey, is upload a couple of OPML files to help you guys get started. And I think I'm going to do two of them. And what an OPML file is, an OPML file is a list of feeds. And I'm going to do two of them. I'm going to do a blind.opml that's got all the podcasts that I know of that are hosted by blind or visually impaired users, people, hosts, whatever. And then I'm going to put in a, you know, Larry's Picks OPML. And the way you use this, either one of these OPMLs, is that you click on the link where each of these will be, save it to your hard disk. Say, let's say we have a folder called Downloads. So you'd save it to /downloads. Then you go into iPodder, go to the file menu, and hit import OPML. And a standard Windows open dialog will come up. And you can type /downloads and hit enter. And that'll make it point to your downloads folder. Make the open dialog point there. Press shift tab to get to the list, back to the list of files that are in the downloads folder. And then either highlight the Larry's Top 10 or Larry's Top Picks, whatever we call it, or the blind OPML file. And all of a sudden, you'll have a number of feeds. Now, you may not like all these feeds, but the good news is it's very easy to delete them. And the way you do that, a couple of ways. While you're in iPodder, go to the View menu, select Subscriptions, might be the second menu item down, and then use your up and down arrow to peruse your list of subscriptions. And when you find one you do not want, just press the delete key, and that will make iPodder prompt you with a dialog saying, okay, you want to delete this? Just hit enter, and that puppy will be gone. Speaking of puppy, my goodness. Well, Jake, you looked anyway, didn't you? You are too good, little buddy. A proud little puppy. Beneath your dignity, huh? Sometimes I wonder if these guide dogs even know they're dogs. Because they're around people more than they are dogs. How about... Good boy. So, please, I know the server is slow. And unfortunately, it's not an easy fix. You know, I'm glad this show has had the response it has, but it caused this side effect that I knew was going to happen eventually. I didn't realize it was going to happen this quickly because we had already made plans just for such a circumstance. It's just that everything's not in place yet. And speaking of that, actually, I would appreciate you letting us know where you heard about Blind Cool Tech. Good morning. One of the things we were going to do, and still are doing, is not to publicize this yet until we have a couple of things worked out. But I'm amazed at how quickly the word got out, and I'm just curious to know where you know, how did you hear about this podcast? Okay, we got several emails on the slowness of our server connection. So, like I say, please try the iPodder solution. I think that'll relieve your anxiety levels, and it'll certainly help us out. See, the other thing about the iPodder solution is that, you know, it doesn't matter if it's slow, because you're not sitting there trying to stream it. You know, theoretically, this just downloads while you're asleep or while you're doing other things on the computer. And also, it doesn't mean that, you know, the when you set your schedule in iPotter, which we will cover in a very soon to come show, you know, not everybody is hitting the server at one time. So it kind of staggers the load a little bit. Now, we really would like to try doing something with a technology called BitTorrent. I'm not sure that we're ready or you're ready for that yet, but just to let me describe it to you, it's a technology, I think I actually mentioned this the other day, where once you've downloaded the show, you offer the services of your PC, your bandwidth, your file to other people. So there's a software that keeps track of, you know, who downloaded it. And when the load gets a little heavy in one area, this software, all in the background, redirects, you know, another user's download to take parts of that file from user A, user B, user C, our site, wherever it can find the best performance. So it's a very cool and useful technology. It's just right now it's a little bit of trouble to set up, both on, well, especially on your end and our end. And it's a little hard to understand. And, you know, I think some people might be nervous about sharing their files from their PC. It's perfectly safe. Good boy, forward. Good boy. Good dog. Okay, another email we got. Kind of a funny email from Dick Wamser, who you will recall provided us an excellent review of Win Catalog Lite a few shows back. And he tells me he was using Real Audio Player 10 to listen to the show and happened to note that for artists it said Larry Skutkan and Dick Wamser. And then it said, for ringtones of these artists' work, you know, go blah, blah, blah here. So he got a good laugh from that, and I did as well. You know, I'm certainly no musician. I don't know about you, Dick. He did suggest that maybe we could get our current and retired guide dogs to do a few howls for us for ringtones so we could provide the service of these expectations that Real Audio puts in there. And what's happening there is that this artist information came from inside the MP3 file of the show, in an area of the file called the ID3 tags. And I always label these MP3s so that people listening to them, you know, on devices with screens like an iPod or many of the MP3 players can tell what it is they're listening to. So I have each show labeled with what the name of the show is for the title. The artist, which in that case I had Larry Skutkan and Dick Wamser. the album, which I put Blind Cool Tech. Year, I put 2005. Genre, I put podcast. And then track, I use the show number. So in this case, it would be 69. And I've actually looked at quite a few of these ID3 tag editors and found one that I really like. Man, I can't even think of the name of it right now. I'll put it in the show notes. It integrates itself into the shell in Windows, so when you get properties on a file, you get a couple of extra tags. I mean, tabs. Tabs for tags. And one of them is an edit ID3 info tab in your properties multi-tab dialog window there. And you just type them in, hit OK, and they're in there. Actually, what I really want to find is a COM object that I could control from script so that I could make these ID3 tags, you know, right in my script that generates the RSS XML feed and the HTML page. But I haven't been able to find that yet. I found a promise of one on SourceForge. I need to look into that a little further. I couldn't get it working in the short amount of attention I had to spend with it. Short amount of time and attention. So, that's what that was about. It was kind of amusing. Thought we would share that with you. Don Barrett has submitted a couple of more guesses on our mystery sound. And I'm going to have to give it to him on this second guess. It's not exactly right, but he's there. So congratulations, Don, and I'll play those voicemails when I get to the office. I probably should have saved saying all this till then, too. One of the things, too, on the Blind Cool Tech podcast that I've been toying around with and would like to get your opinion on, it's quickly becoming apparent that we are going to have to come up with some way to archive older shows. You know, where this is show 69 already, and we've only been going a little over 2 months. So you can imagine that that web page could get a little bit unwieldy after another month or two. And obviously on the web page, we're going to, you know, put some archive links, maybe just keep the most recent 30 or 50 shows on the website. But what I thought would really be cool is to go ahead and, you know, still give you a way to click on each one from the web page, but I'd really like to also create a digital talking book for each month's worth. So there would be about 30 articles, 30 episodes, 30 shows, whatever you want to call them, in each of these BTBs. You know, we talked a little bit about making a DTB for a show, but I'm so unorganized that there's really not a lot of good structure within a show. So it's not like story A, B, and C. In fact, you know, we're sort of evolving towards having one main topic in a show and probably covering some email and general, you know, housekeeping types of business. But this idea of having a, you know, January or June's and July's Blind Cool Texas, the DTB, is pretty cool, pretty appealing. The problem is, I have been making these files in every kind of format possible. So what I'm going, and you know, that's okay. Hey, how are you? Good. What I'm going to do, beginning with the August, starting in August, starting this month, is trying to decide on the standard format. And what I'm thinking about is 64 kbps, 44 sample rate, stereo, or joint stereo. And I realize, you know, a lot of these shows, it's kind of a waste to do in stereo. But occasionally there are some good ones, especially when we get those binaural microphones that go into your ears. I really want to do some experimentation with that. So, you know, give us some feedback on that. I think that sounds like the format. You know, we don't need the highest quality audio. We've even toyed around with going down to 32, and it actually sounds pretty good. Maybe we need to play with that a little more. In fact, let's make the goal that we'll decide by the end of this month what the format is going to be. So I will try some 32 kbps ones this, you know, bitrate ones this month, and try to elicit your feedback about the quality of them. I think they'll probably be fine. You know, or maybe we can go down to 48. Like I say, we've been doing 64 as a general rule. Another thing that need to think about is file names. And I started these out with BCT1, BCT2, so that people would know what order they were just by looking at the file name. But that was kind of boring to me, because you really never knew what the contents was. All you knew was the order. So I'm tossing around the idea of putting something like 69 BCT dash our choice on digital recorders, for instance, might be the name of this particular episode of Blind Cool Tech. So you know, let us know if you have any insight. You know, there's issues to consider, like sorting order. So we'd probably actually want to do 0069 BCT, or BCT 0069 dash the winner of digital recorders, or what have you. Okay, let's see. Just on a personal note, Shelly is starting back to school here in a couple of weeks, so she's decided to move in, her and Mars. I'm sure you've met Shelly and Mars. Shelly's my number three daughter. I actually have four daughters and three granddaughters. Men are a scarce commodity in my family. So Shelly's been living with her mother. I actually have quite a bit bigger space, so she can have her own room and Mars can have her own room. Shelly, I think, hesitates to live with me because I have rules. I won't even go there. So, it's fun. I love having little Mars around. I love being with her as she grows up, watching how much she develops every day. She kind of reminds me of Shelley when Shelley was that age. Very inquisitive, very, very talkative. Okay, let's get on to the topic of the show, which is our pick for the ultimate. Well, I won't say the ultimate, the best general purpose digital recording device. And we have looked at, if you will recall, the Olympus DS2, the iRiver IFP 899, and the Arcos Jukebox Recorder version 2, running Rockbox. And, you know, I've also considered others, and especially the iRiver hard disk based recorder / MP3 players. To the best of my knowledge, however, Rockbox does not run on those yet. At least the speech interface does not run on those particular machines yet. I wish it did. I would have purchased one, but you know, the reality is, when you're moving around, walking, bouncing around, I had a few troubles with the hard disk based Arcos Jukebox. And I know for a fact I got to work one morning as we were recording, and I was keeping the recorder in my right front pocket, so it bounces a bit there. And that baby was hot when I got to work. So I think somehow we made a bind on the spinning hard drive or something happened. So I'm a little bit partial towards the solid state solutions, of which both the Olympus and the IFP 899 iRiver are. They're both memory based, both fixed amount of memory, the Olympus being 64 megabytes and the iRiver being 1 gigabyte. Now, I'm recording this right now on the Olympus DS2, and one of the reasons is that it is so simple, especially when you turn the beeps on in the menu. So you hit record, you get a confirmation beep, lock the machine, and I can pretty well be guaranteed that I'm going to have a good recording when I get to work. Drawback, you only get 1 hour of recording in the highest setting. There are several other lower settings, but I'm not that wild about how they sound. You know, there's a marked difference. The other really appealing thing about the Olympus is this built-in limiting. So as I walk to work and these big trucks fly by on Frankfurt Avenue, there's not going to be one clip in this file, yet it's able to pick up my voice very well. I do have it set on dictation, which makes the microphone less sensitive. So, you could set it on the conference setting and you could get, the surrounding noises better. Like, I think if I'd have done this at the zoo, I would have set it on the conference setting so that we could hear the other animals and so forth. Of course, the reason I like the jukebox with Rockbox running is it's accessible. You know, that's mighty appealing. It makes good recordings too. Several quality settings.
Morning, Larry, it's Ralph.
Hey, Ralph. I'm actually not talking to myself. I'm doing a podcast.
Oh, sorry to interrupt.
People think I'm nuts, and I am. That was my boss, by the way, Ralph Bartley. But the jukebox digital recorder has got a lot of appealing features. The high quality, the massive storage. The reason I went with the iRiver, though, are several.
And,
hey, Steve, what's up?
We're downstairs. We'll take you down to the bargain basement, huh?
Yes, sir. Coming, taking the detour. I meet a lot of new people this way.
You know, I see people that I haven't seen for weeks coming down this hallway where they do that kind of stuff.
You're on the podcast, by the way.
I am.
Hope you don't mind.
No, is this the porn one you mean, or the
He didn't really say that.
Which podcast is this? Is this the studio one or that?
No, I'm making one right now, talking about I've been on my morning walk. I talk about this morning we're discussing the merits of several different MP3 recorders.
Oh, I see. So you're doing it even as we talk.
I should
have signed a waiver or something, shouldn't I? You know?
Well, you know, I had to for that. You know, there's a film crew coming in here for some show.
Oh,
is
yeah,
it an American?
Yeah. The John Ratzenberg, the guy from Cheers, right? Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize he was from
Cheers. Yeah, he's the host. Remember the guy who used to play Cliff Clavin?
Yeah,
know
that. I've got to watch that show, I guess. Yeah, we had to sign waivers for that. So
they're going to film you, huh?
I don't know what for, but
I guess they're not going to film me because I didn't have to sign a waiver, you know. In fact, they told me to stay away on my day. I guess you're going to take a vacation. No, I'm kidding. Actually, I was down, I ran into Roberta Williams the other day. She was wandering around pretty much in the same area, but she was looking for the boiler room because they've got big RVs coming, big 40-foot RVs, they say.
Oh, and there's electricity that comes out of there.
And there's a way you come in. They have big garage doors. You can come in that way and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we've had
the lowdown on it.
We've had other consultants do that. Remember back, I don't know if you remember back in the 80s, we had a guy that used to travel around in his RV and he'd park right out there and just live there for like weeks at a time.
Jack told me about that.
Yeah.
So that's the spot.
It's the way to go.
That's pretty cool. I'm kind of looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing him come into filming.
It'll
be interesting.
Yeah, I think so
I've
too.
I've watched his show before. It's not bad.
I have never, but I'm going to find it and start recording it.
It's basically, they pretty much go, he goes around the country and they, you know, takes like the tour of, you know, how they're making things and all that. I'm going there, like, how they made Wolverine boots and stuff.
Okay.
So,
awesome.
Anyway.
All right. Did you see Keith had you a new version up there that's supposed to correct the...
Yes, the top secret experimental version. I understand we're only going to put it on one computer. And
yeah, I would suggest always doing that at first, unless... Well, I know we've been forced not to a few times.
Yeah, keep it some isolate, you know.
Yeah.
So it won't contaminate the rest of it.
Let it mature a little. Age, like good wine. Thanks, Steve. Good doggy. So the iRiver has got several things in its favor. Simplicity and reliability are two of them. Let's see, I'm going to go out here till we finish this discussion. One other thing about all these recorders that wasn't true a few years ago, and it's true of any product these days almost, is that, by gosh, you can get documentation online. Hallelujah. Now, unfortunately, the iRiver documentation is poor at best. I wish they would discuss it a little more. You know, actually, I need to get somebody cited to verify that what I'm getting out of that PDF file is all there is to get. But I found that documentation. I believe it was on the iRiver site. I might have just done a Google search for iRiver IFP 899 manual and eventually ran across it. I think that's how I found it. It ended up being on the iRiver site. I couldn't find it just navigating on their site, though. The documentation for the Olympus actually came on the CD that came with it, so that was nice. And it's quite a bit better. Now, the other things about the iRiver, you know, you get 34 hours of record time in that 1 gigabyte memory space, and that's at the top quality setting. Now, the top quality, you know, I could have swore we were getting 128 kbps before I updated the firmware, and I could only seem to get up to 64 now, which is fine for me. I'm just curious. If any of you others run into that, let me know. Actually, I ordered a few more of them, so I'm going to check that before I update the firmware. The other reason I selected it is, you know, the lock switch is really important. That's one thing the Rockbox, well, you know, come to think of it, it may have had a way to lock it by pressing a combination of buttons. I seem to recall something about that, but I never could remember what it was. You know, with both the Olympus and the iRiver, it's a simple slide on the side, and you press that and you're locked into whatever mode you're in, so you don't accidentally press buttons. The iRiver I like too because of its size. You know, it comes with a little rubber housing around it that you can, with a way to attach it to an armband that comes with it. So it's easy to have it right there. Of course, the drawback to that, as you saw the other day on the Frankfort Avenue trolley podcast, you know, as soon as Liz saw that thing on my arm, she said, "We're not podcasting." So people can see it, but that's okay. The built-in mic on each of these is okay. Much better with an external mic, obviously. So, you know, back to this ease of use on the iRiver. It's very nice. You know, there's four pretty much basic modes, as we discussed in the earlier podcast. And, you know, if you want to leave it in the external mic, external recording mode, you know, it's there. And you can verify that you're recording just by monitoring with the earphone. So, you know, that makes it nice. And it's very easy to get going. You just press the record button, slide that lock switch, and, you know, you're pretty well assured that you're going to get a pretty decent recording. Interestingly enough, too, I noticed that the iRiver records in constant bitrate, where the Arcos recorded in variable bitrate. So if you're not planning on doing any editing of your files, that might be a consideration. Overall, though, I'm very impressed with the iRiver. Reliability-wise, it's been fine. I had that, you know, I tried to record that Washing the Dog show twice with apparently a dead battery. So, you know, now I'm going to try to keep a gauge on how long I've used it and, you know, make sure I put fresh batteries in it at critical points. So that is the reason we decided to go with the iRiver IFP 899 as the digital recorder of choice. I do have a little piece I'm going to play with you from the podcast 411 podcast about some tips using the iRiver. So when we get back up to the office, we'll go ahead and do the email and we'll go from there. Isn't that right, little buddy? Steve, by the way, who I was talking to in the hall a second ago, you may remember from an earlier podcast, he gave us the tour of how APH makes digital talking books. He's the manager of special projects. Interesting guy. Great guy. All right, here is the piece about the iRiver that Rob featured on the July 23rd edition of the podcast, or the, podcast 411 podcast.
Right now I want to play a tech tip that was sent in to me from Michael Corino from the Digital Media Cast Experiment.
Hi, I'm Michael Corino from the Digital Media Cast Experiment with today's podcasting tip. When you want to go light yet get quality audio captures, I like to use the iRiver IFP 899. This is a small MP3 recorder with a built-in microphone as well as a line-in and microphone-in jack. I got mine at the local Best Buy for about $180. The microphone-in jack is also capable of powering popular microphones such as the one on a set of Altec Lansing 302i headphones with boom mic. Even when you're using the highest quality compression rate, the IFP 899 has hours of recording time, and if you're careful with your levels, the capture you will get will be very nice, definitely good enough for podcasting. You can also use this unit's built-in microphone. If you use the Altec Lansing 302i headphones with a boom mic, place the mic about 1/4 inch above level with the tip of your nose. This will prevent popping peas and, what's more important, the sound of your breathing. The first time I tried this, I had a cold. I forgot what I was even talking about because I got fixated on my breathing. It was worse than hearing the voices in my head. Moving the mic into the right position helped a lot. Also, with a couple of shelf parts from your local Radio Shack, you can build a splitter so you can run two 302i's into one IFP 899, one microphone in each channel. True, it will sound like an old Beatles song with that deliberate stereo separation, but what do you think audio editors are for? By the way, I'm recording this segment using an IFP 899 and a set of Altec Lansing 302i's. Last but not least, I do not get any compensation from iRiver or Altec Lansing. Thanks, Rob, for letting me yap on your show.
And now, on to our voicemail.
Hey, Larry, Don Barrett again here. I'm thinking that's a water pump, that you hand pump get water for maybe the dog, and maybe that's why the dog wouldn't be scared of it, because the dog knew water was coming out of it. Just another guess, buddy. Hope I'm getting close. See ya. Bye.
Nope, not quite. Good guess, though, Don. Keep those guesses coming in. Now, here's another variation of that recording. All right, and the next voicemail?
Hey, Larry, Don Barrett again. I guess I'm going to be quite a nuisance here, but this is my third and last guess on the noise, and I'm guessing that it's a statue of a dog, and it's growling, and that's what the sound is, kind of a mechanical dog with batteries or some mechanism that makes it growl. Well, that's it for me. I've exhausted all my thinking on it. I hope I'm right, and if not, I wish whoever gets it the best. Take care, guy. Keep up the great work. Enjoying your shows a lot. They're lots of fun and very, very informative as well. And you're just doing wonders for the community. And I just listen as often as I can. So So you take care, and we'll catch you soon. Bye-bye.
All right. Appreciate the comments, Don. I'm going to have to give you this sound. I'm going to play a piece right after the rest of the voicemails and show you where that sound came from. All right, next voicemail.
Hello, Larry. This is James Amarsha Mackey in San Francisco. We really enjoy the program Blind Cool Tech. We both especially enjoy the things that you talk about, Jake and and the Fredster. I really enjoyed this segment that you had with Don on sleep apnea. Now, since I have that myself, his comments were quite to the point about it. Don Ball, I think his name was, or I forget his last name, but that was really a good segment. And I found your tour of APH quite interesting. So I just wanted to tell you that I find all of the Blind Cool Tech shows very interesting, except sometimes the shows cut in and out. Probably your server APH cuts in and out. We don't know. But my wife Marcia and I both use Freedom Box, so might be an interesting show to have Mike Calville from Freedom Box talk about Freedom Box on Blind Cool Tech. This is James and Marcia Mackey saying that we really enjoy the show. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, James, and that actually is a great idea. I was talking with Mike Calvo the other day, and I should have thought to set up an interview with him. We will do that. All right, here's our next voicemail.
Hi, Larry. This is Joe Good from Denver. I just wanted to let you know what an awesome job you're doing with Blind Cool Tech. I just got subscribed last week through a good friend of mine, Edward Alonzo. He told me about it. And so I've really enjoyed it so far. I enjoyed your review on the accessible cell phones, and I'm currently listening to your Fat Friday show. Very cool show. So anyway, there it is. Again, Joe Good from Denver. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Joe. And now, the moment you have all been waiting for. Here is where the sound came from, the mystery sound. I'll tell you, what we were doing was making sounds to put in our software. And here is the session in which it came, from which it came.
Hey, Fred. Where's your bone? Give me your bone. Give me that thing. Give me your bone. Go get it. You want to play some fetch? You want to play some fetch? No, don't grab the microphone. Get your bone. Get your bone. Come on. Where's your bone at?
It just doesn't do it for
me. It doesn't do it for me. Where's your bone? Hmm? Where's your bone at, big guy? I don't see it. Fetch it. Get it. Get your bone. I'm gonna get it. I'm gonna get it. Give me that thing. 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 Thank you.
probably got his harness on the drawer. Get it. Bring it here. Bring it here. That's my table.
Oh, well, don't bite the mic.
Get it?
Well, I need more, though.
Okay.
That was actually recorded back in 1998 when Fred was still a pretty young guy. And we actually ended up using the sound of that crash in our software too. So we've got the growl and the crash, both from that session. So that was the Vicious Fredsters, the mystery sound. I gotta hand it to you, Don, you were right around it there. Okay, that's going to do it for issue 69 of Blind Cool Tech. I'm Larry Skutkan, your host. Y'all have a great one, and we'll see you next time.